Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Trying to maintain.
I know that feeling. Yeah, trying to get it in. We all up in here. Everybody working hard.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And get things rolling, rolling, rolling. So tonight is our Wednesday night show. It is Wednesday, right? Because, you know, I don't even know what day it is anymore, Tony. I swear, all my days are running together.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, so we got a special edition. We're going to be talking about trends. Are they good? Are they bad? Is it good to just, you know, stick to what you know and do, you know, do your thing? Or should you follow what everybody else is doing? You know, we see that a lot, you know, in this society. People like to jump on and follow trends, which pretty much wear out so fast. And I think people be left looking around like, what the heck do I do next?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. We're going to talk about that, and then we have Mr. Aaron Bebo in the clubhouse. Is Mr. Bebo here? Mr. Bebo, are you there?
I would not be here. You can't even have the show without me. How's that going to happen?
Hey, that's B.
What's going on? What's going on, Alicia? Hey, what's going on, Tony?
Hey,
where's
did you cook today? I'm here.
Did I cook?
Yeah.
And
you know what,
I went
Aaron.
Down to that microwave and threw this. I went down to that microwave and threw
this
in this jerk
problem.
Chicken dinner I got out the freezer section the other day.
See, this is the problem.
I almost thought I was in a Jamaican restaurant.
He was cooking. Chef Yan Can Cook every day. He was even going to have a cooking show. Now all of a sudden he don't cook every day. He if he even think about cooking at all, he got microwave foods out the frozen section. This is an outrage.
It is. And
I got some extra duties. I can't be chefing all the time. I got some extra duties. I got some new things on the plate. You know,
that's
you get
true.
New things on the plate, you kind of switch. You take off the chef hat, you put on the baseball cap or the fitted or the ski mask if you have to, you know.
Oh, Lord. That ski mask way.
You definitely got to change it up.
That ain't fair, because if I took something out the frozen section and put it in the microwave and said that's what I made, you all know Aaron would talk about me to the end.
And I'm going to help him.
No, I'm only saying that.
I don't want to
see
no frozen food.
I'm only saying that about you. I only do that with you because, hey, after all, you're Mrs. Cleaver over there, and I remember Mrs. Cleaver spending a hell of a lot of time around the kitchen. As always, she wasn't up in the men's business. She let the boys be boys. Mm-hmm. All she was concerned with was the time on the oven to make sure that apple pie got out on time.
Well, now I got a pressure cooker, and everything is right on time.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you something. Be careful with some of them YouTube recipes, because so not everybody on there can cook. Okay? You know, had you set the timer for the wrong time. Plus, you got to know which people to be watching. Like, you know, everybody has different temperatures. People like their food at different variables. Like, you be done ate something totally uncooked.
Oh, no, honey, I got a pressure cooker. You just put it in
the wrong
there.
Channel.
You push whether it's meat, is it poultry, is it chicken, is it fish, is it a vegetable. Push the little button. Timer comes on. It cooks it. Close the top.
I know Tony throw down. Tony, now tell the truth. Mm-hmm. When she's operating that machinery like that, tell her.
Mm-hmm.
She's on white people time. No offense.
I got to admit that I turned her on to the pressure cooker.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Did you tell her how to adjust the time?
One old wife, one old lumber.
That's only because Lisa was over there keeping the fire department busy. So Tony had to give her something to do so that Junior would have his eyebrows. And Chris
yeah.
would be able to eat a good dinner every night. She had to do that. That was important.
Yeah.
That was an important trend right there. Right there. Important trend.
Lisa's spinning out the kitchen. Spinning out the kitchen. In her Mary Poppins dress and her Fire Marshal Bill eyebrows. Like dinner served.
My eyebrows came back, and I got a pressure cooker.
I am done.
Dinner served.
So, yes, thank God for that. You know, we don't went everywhere, but you know what? This is necessary because tonight we are talking about trends. Are they good or are they bad? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of stuff that's a trend that's easy, that makes your life easier. And then there's some trends that pass with time so quickly, like I just said a minute ago, and people don't know what to do next. Like, they have no plan. They have no backup plan. You know, they're like little obedient dogs. Like, they just follow. Now, I'm calling nobody a dog, but I'm just saying they'll follow one thing to the next thing to the next thing without having their own thing put in place, you know, so that they can, you know, have something for themselves. You
mm-hmm.
know, they follow one trend to the next. Al Sadiq Banks was on here, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And he was stating, like, he don't follow trends. He was like, I go with what is for me, what comes with for me. He was like, the same style of clothes, you know, the brand, rather. He'll probably change with the style. He said, but I wear polo. I've been wearing polo since the 80s. That's my thing. That's what I do. That's who I am. Nobody expects anything else out of me. Like, he has his own way of doing things. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, those trends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, what we'll do is we have some guests that's going to be in here. They're going to be kicking it and chopping it up here in the clubhouse. Can't wait to get them on here. We're going to talk about trends in the literary game, you know, and any other area, you know, that we may fall into as we kick this subject off. And we're going to let Miss Tony go ahead and pay some bills, and then we're going to bring our guests in here. And we know Aaron's going to be ready to cut up, because I know he got some trends, because right now, one of the biggest trends that Aaron loves to tell us about is how side chicks are winning. So, you know, we're just going to talk about everything. And,
we're going to discuss that because I don't know. I'm not even really sure if that's a trend. Side chicks might have been winning.
Hurry up and pay the bills, Tony, before they cut our lights out up in here. We'll be talking in the dark.
Okay. Well, I'd like to officially welcome everybody to our Wednesday night edition of Writing Raw to Radio. My name is Tony, and I am staying with the trends for right now, and I'd like to welcome you guys into the clubhouse. We have an awesome show on tap. Like I said, my name is Tony, and I am an avid reader. I love everything reading. Have you ever, guys, I look at license plates a lot. Did you ever look at a license plate and, like, try to add a vowel and come up with a word?
Yeah, I
constantly find myself doing that. That's just the part of what I like about the word. But anyway, mm-hmm. I digress. So in order to keep our lights on, our green room operating, our hair and makeup up to par, I like to remind everybody to pick up Miss Nene Capri's Hot Releases. This woman has a blazing pen game. Just ask any of her reading bosses. She has the P-Trap series 1, 2, and 3, and she is busy, busy, busy working on part 4, so be on the lookout for that shortly. She also has the Trust No B series 1, 2, and 3. That is an all-time classic that she shares with the one and only Cash Street Lit author. So please get those classics into your library. Now she has a blazing title under G Street Chronicles titled Tainted. Lies, fear, and death. G Street, G Street, G Street. That's all I could say, because they are taking over. She's busy penning part 2 as I speak. She thinks it's just taking over already, right?
Yeah, it's already taking over.
Already. We're done playing.
That's right. It. That's it.
Around.
And my co-host, Mr. Microwavable Man himself, Aaron Bebo, he is no slouch with his pen.
That's right.
And with that pushing a button on setting 1, 2, or 3, but he has some hot releases, Rat Hunters, Change for a Dollar, Till My Casket Drops, are just a few of those titles. And also under the powerhouse of G Street Chronicles, he has I Used to Love Her. Again, that is my all-time favorite hip-hop classic, and he is pinning part two to that. So sit back, get your one click on, get those titles by my two phenomenal co-hosts, and I'm going to take a deep breath and pass it over to my one and only pressure cooking partner, Miss Leisha. What's going on?
I'm good, everybody. Welcome to Writing Rusty. We're super excited. Jasmine, the Clubhouse house with us tonight. We're going to have a good old time because we got the girls in the house. So, you know, this is girls' night in the clubhouse. So it's going down with author LaVon. She's the author of Girlfriend. And author Demetrius, she is the author of the Rich Boy Mafia series. Oh, my goodness, she has so many. So they're going to be with us in the clubhouse tonight. And as everybody said, we're talking about trends. But I do want to remind you guys about keeping your one-click on Amazon and Nook going. There are tons of books that are out available now. You got Motivation by Swift, which is available now, and it's on sale for 99 cents. Stuck on Pause, which is by author Tanya Robinson, and then There Was None, which is by author Clay Thomas Cecilia. And of course, we have our two authors on today. Hit those one click links to Amazon and Nook. Also, if you were on Writing Royalty Group yesterday, and I want to shout out all the authors yesterday that helped, that participated, because they didn't have to. They came from behind those pens and behind those papers and those computers, and they came out and they gave us some synopsis. Yesterday in the clubhouse on Facebook, it was Freaky Tuesday, and they had two excerpts from their book. And I'm telling y'all, they all came hard, and the man wasn't playing. So
was that a pun? Was that a pun intended? They all came hard? Okay, sorry, go ahead.
If you're on Facebook, hit that Right Royalty group. Take time. It is closed during the week, the posting, so take time to read all the little excerpts and all the little snacks that the authors teamed up and made for us to enjoy as readers. So I'm glad they were able to do that. Mr. Bebo.
I think Bebo went to the green room. You know what happened?
He always had hair and makeup.
He just runs down the hall to the green room.
I'm sorry, the stylist with the big breath called me. I have
okay.
I need to touch up. Something with my left eyebrow or something. I don't know what it was.
He ain't got no
what. We're going to, the people in the green room, I don't know what they're doing down there, if they're passing out favors. I can't find out. But Tony, please put this on the list. We're going to get more males in the clubhouse because Aaron spends too much time in the green room. So I think that's something going on down there, but I haven't quite yet figured it out. So put that down on paper, Tony, that we're going to have more males working in the clubhouse because the staff is overwhelmed with females. So Aaron is finally finds his way down to hair and makeup every show.
I got you. I'm on top of it, boss lady.
Yeah, you don't need to have his makeup touched that much.
Yeah.
It's out of hand. Aaron, you have anything to say for yourself?
No. Right now, I'm just satisfied that I was chosen to go to hair and makeup.
You were chosen? I'm done with you right now because I can't with you right now.
We're
talking about these trends, you know, how people set them, how people jump them off, and how people follow them. You know, some people follow them blindly, don't even understand what the trend is about or what the trend stands for. They just go with it. So we're going to kick that off. It's crazy. It's crazy. But you know what? My main thing is don't believe the hype. Aaron, go ahead and drop that beat.
Hold on, Nene. Now that was fly. George would have liked it, that one, but you didn't prep me. That was a great one, but you didn't hit me with the regular prep.
Court, you're looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the Frank Guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
cause some they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes. Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, it's so consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, he'll tell me that you understand until you hear the man. The book up the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers of the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. Some claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya. A rap burglar, false media. We don't need it, do we?
It's Vegas with a beat of you, dig me? Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype.
It's a sequel. As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punks can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks. Some perpetrate, they drink Clorox, attack the black because I know they lack exact the cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool. Never played the fool, just made the rule. Remember there's a need to get alarm. Again, I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab at your elbow. Word to Herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some deny it, defy it, I swing bolos. Then it clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the wax. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, it must be on the pipe, right?
Depends, it pads I set, cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, it was static. I see their tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen. I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, boy, part two from rush the show. Yo, Griff,
get the green, black, and red in. Gold down, countdown to Armageddon. 88, you wait, the S1s will. Put the left in effect and I still will. Rock the hard jam, treat it like a seminar. Reach the bourgeois and rock the boulevard. Some say I'm negative, but then I'm positive. What I got to give?
The media says this.
Red,
yo,
black,
don't
and green.
That hype. They got to be,
you know what I
hype.
Mean?
You know what I'm saying? Yo, the megas got them going up to see Captain Kirk like a jerk and they out of work. Let me tell y'all a little something, man. A lot of people on daytime radio scared of us because they too ignorant to understand the lyrics of the truth that we pumping into them clouds, that brain cells, that they're spotting under them wooden skulls they call caps, you know what I'm saying? But the S1s are straightening it out quick, fast, in a hurry. Don't worry, flavor.
All right.
You're a writer. Am I that type? Don't believe the hype. Come right in. You done slipped up. You ain't right, man. Let me find out.
You ain't giving me enough time.
Hey, listen,
your line and my line.
No, because you know you got to drop it. You know you got to drop it. You got to be right on point, like how Harry was on the song. And Harry was white.
You know what?
He even dropped it on point.
I'm light skin.
He was right on beat.
Give me a minute. That's all. You know,
oh, yeah,
just,
okay. I forgot.
Man, you know, I beat you off a little bit sometimes.
But, yeah, that's where twerking came from. Light-skinned people invented twerking.
You know.
Because of that little off beat, that little off-soul step they got.
You are clearly bugging.
it's like, yo, what's that? Like, I don't know. I'll be seeing light-skinned people do that shit.
That's the latest trend.
Then it was some dark skinned person who couldn't pronounce work right. So it was like, well, she twerking that shit. and that was it. Twerking was born. I don't know who the hell she is, but she damn sure twerking it, girl. Somebody grandmother made that
Aaron
shit.
Aaron ain't got no sense.
Oh, you know somebody? That sound like somebody. That sound like something grandma would say. Like, what the hell is they out there doing? Well, I don't know. That little red one sure is out there twerking it.
Well, I don't know what grandma's talking about, because if y'all think about it, that's where twerking came from. It just wasn't called twerking. They was popping their little behinds way, way back. The names just changed, but people been doing it for a long time.
Down to the juke joint. They was down to the juke joint.
They was down to the juke joint.
Sneaking.
Back in them backwoods, drinking moonshine.
White
girl,
lightning.
You had on a short skirt and some black and white shoes.
Them bucks.
Yeah, you was in. What, two ponytails off to the side and a smile? Might even get a shot of corn liquor.
Oh, Lord.
Not a game.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I mean, I might as well start talking about, I know, I'm old as hell. I'm old. I'm the old.
I heard somebody said you was just old. You just old and ancient. We got to tell these young boys, you got to live to get old, player.
Yeah, you got to live to get old. Got to make some headway. I'm happy.
Yeah. And Keisha was just talking about that. I was like, man, shoot, they don't know. We outliving their generation. We talk about we burying Lord's them.
The mother. No, for real. For real, that's sad.
About old. It used to be the other way around. They used to bury the grandparents, but now the grandparents and the parents is burying their children.
That's true.
Not that that's a good trend, but that's one of the trends in society right now. Like, parents our age and younger, you know, parents in their 30s are burying their teenage sons. You know what I'm saying? And it's really sad. Like, even just on the news up in New Jersey, they just shot a young girl in the head. And it's just crazy. Camden, they just came and randomly shot outside some homes and caught an 11-year-old girl, shot her, she laying in her bed. You know what I'm saying? Just, that's a thing.
Shoot.
That's crazy. Yo, Camden is like one of the most dangerous cities in the world, in America.
Yeah, it ain't quiet, I know, yes. Yes, yeah. And it looks like Beirut. It's not even developed. I mean,
yeah,
you drive
it's all
into
broke
Camden,
down. Everybody there is poverty stricken.
Exactly, and that's why you had that crime and stuff going on, you know, in that city. It's crazy, and it don't seem like they're ever going to come in to try to fix or beautify, you know, that particular portion of New Jersey. It's crazy. But we got our authors in the house. If Miss Leisha could go ahead on and introduce, you know, our first, you know, guest and bring them on in here. Let's talk about these trends. There's so many trends, these butt injections, lip injections, boob job. There's so many trends. There's so much going on. E-book, paperback. There's so many different trends. We're going to talk about everything in the clubhouse tonight, see what these authors got on their mind. And we're going to talk like
big
we do.
Book,
like
small
we family.
Book. It doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah. Don't forget that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, let's see what we got in the clubhouse. We have seen one of the authors in the clubhouse, so I will go with her first. We have author LaFine. She is a native of Chicago. She has strategically expressed her creativity through various aspects of her life, including instructing various creative writing classes for persons with intellectual and physical disabilities. On her job, she works for social services. So that is wonderful because she is using her craft to give back to her community. And that's just, I think that is a wonderful thing because we all have to give back. We all have
that
to
do whatever
needs
our to start
gift
trending.
Is. We have
yes,
to
Yes, giving back. Giving back needs to start trending. Go ahead.
Now, she is also a co-host of The Mirror, which is a controversial blog talk radio show right here on Blog Talk. Let's bring in author LaFine and let her tell us about herself.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Is she in?
Welcome. I'm
glad to be here. How is everyone?
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I was waiting to hear your voice. I heard you work for social services. I was like, okay. Is she the one that's
right.
going to be like, yo, you ain't approved. You make too much money. we can only give
you
$13 worth of stamps. So I had to hear your voice first. Like, yo, is she the one in that office?
Oh, my
you
God.
Ain't that one, are you? You try to throw a loop with the teeth to the kids. Like, y'all be looking out for the kids, but let them adults walk in there. Niggas ain't getting nothing.
Oh, no, I'm the same at all times. Like, the way that I am in my personal life is the same way that I am at work. Like, I don't sugarcoat it, so it is what it is. I talk to them the same way I talk to anybody else.
Oh.
Okay, that's what's up.
No, that's right. Uh-oh,
oh,
the author just walked in. I see her parking her car. We got Oscar Dimitri in the clubhouse.
Okay. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you guys?
Oh, trying to
We're
maintain.
Good.
We're here working hard. Some of us is hardly working. I'm not going to say no name.
Bebo.
Yeah, I'm hardly working. I'm hardly working.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to the clubhouse. This is Nene Capri. Thanks for taking, our invitation and coming out to hang out, with us and talk about these different topics that we're going to discuss. We're talking about things trending. Is it good? Is it bad? Since we're talking about books, let's get into that. You know, what we see trending within our own industry. And let's start off with, LaFine, since you came in first, we're going to start off with you. And what do you see that's trending in our industry, good or bad?
Good or bad. Well, the bad thing that I see trending is the fact that there isn't much originality. It seems as though so many people are writing the same thing. Like, you can read a book and, you probably think this book is awesome. You read another book later down the line, like, I read this before. But you actually haven't read it before. It's by a totally different author, but the storylines aren't changing. So it's like, I think people are afraid to go outside of the box. Everybody's trying to play it safe, but playing it safe is only going to go so far because, like, the topic tonight is about trends. Trends only last for so long. It's not ongoing. It'll stop at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have to stand out. Now, in terms of this thing, you're going to have to come back to me on that one. Because, I mean, yeah, come back to me on that one.
Okay. So what you're saying, one of the things that's trending right now is the lack of originality. People copying off different people's work, whether it's out of their book, if it's their titles, if it's covers or whatever, the originality. What do you feel about that, Aaron?
Yeah, it's definitely, I definitely think that originality is lacking. And people always say, like, oh, all these books are the same. Like, people have been saying that for years. But the one element that was very different some years ago was that the stories weren't the same, just the sense, the setting. it wasn't that the stories was the same. It was really somebody going through a whole different set of circumstances, but it was just close because of the settings that they were placed in. All these books were taking place in a different setting, but you knew right off the rip that the coldest winter ever was not riding dirty down I-95.
True.
It was two different signatures all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's lacking now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you knew Vicky Stringer wasn't, you know, Deja King. You knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you could tell the difference. Authors had their own signatures and everything. Now, people is just getting crazy. People stealing covers, blatantly, titles. I mean, you can't copyright a title, but it's, you know, certain things you just don't do. They're stealing titles.
Mm-hmm.
Plagiarism is at an all-time high.
Wow.
Like, plagiarism is crazy. A lot of people don't even know that their stuff is getting stolen because they don't even be bothering to read these other books.
Yeah.
But plagiarism is at an all-time high, yo.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just not, it's happening because it's just no... It's no funnel, yo. I mean, it's just straight through. Like, everything just going straight through. It ain't no weed and nothing out no more. You know what I mean? So now Trent has pushed to the front seat, and Structure is sitting in the trunk.
But
ain't even in the back seat. It's in the trunk.
Everything we do really is a trend. But the one thing, just talking about books, me and Tony were talking about this, how, you know, it seems like the newer generations don't have a lot of identity. Demetria, do you think that is part of the problem of not being original in literature today?
That's a big problem. I mean, from back, I mean, and I'm not old. I'm not real old. I'm not even 30 yet, but I've been reading since Triple Crown days. And, you know, and like Aaron Bebo said, you know, you knew who was who. Everybody had their own signature. And it's like now everybody wants the same titles. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? If you put your book out first and I see your title, I'm going to steal your title before you can put your book out. Even though you showed me your title, I know that's your book. You know, it's no originality at all. And it's like, I don't know, it lacks. And then back then in the day, it was, you know, paper books was the way to go. And it's like now Kindle has taken over. Everybody want 99-cent books, but they don't want to, you know, they want a full-length novel for 99 cents, you know.
Exactly.
So, we as authors, we got to eat, too. This is, you know, some of this is our only job, you know what I'm saying? So would you want somebody paying you $1 for your job?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something that's not trending, but they want you to believe it's trending. And that's that paper books is out of here. Paperbacks ain't out of here.
No,
you know,
I love
people
a good paperback.
People are so glued to their computer that only you keep seeing people talking about e-books because you won't get away from the computer. I'll be out in the streets. I'll be selling paperbacks all the time. Those people that are sitting back talking about paperbacks ain't moving, it's because they're not moving. They sitting in front of that screen all day. So of course they only gonna have the war report on e-books. They can't give me the war report on what's going on out in the street because they're not there.
True, because I got so many people that ask me for paperback versus the Kindle copy.
I have a paperback following, and I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? And it you have to be moving them paperbacks. You have to be able to. It's a whole different class, and I'm happy and blessed that I came up under Wahida because. She, you know what I'm saying, she come from that paperback era. So the grind and the hustle on the paperback end is so different. Like, it's a whole different hustle. It's a personable hustle. It's a different type of sale. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get in somebody's face and convince them not just that you have a good book, but it's okay to do business with you. Like, you're going to be honest with them. You're going to have their books to them on time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to show up. You're going to be on time. You're going to do a book signing. You're going to be professional. You're going to come out and you're going to meet readers. You're going to sign books. Like, it's a different type of sale. And I think that people aren't that comfortable. Some people aren't that comfortable with talking to people and being around people. And, you know, and that's a whole different hustle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hustle. You know what I'm saying? You got to move that product.
But didn't you need that? But hi, ladies. This is Tony. I'd like to welcome you to the show tonight. But then you have, on the flip side, you have people that are paying $20 for a hardcover book for like a James Patterson or a Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
So why should our urban authors, you know, why should their work be any less when they work just as hard?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But you have some publishers out here that started that trend with the 99-cent book, so now all the readers expect all of our books to be that cheap for a full-length novel.
Right. Now, because it's some things that I'll buy from the dollar store that I won't buy from Macy's. You feel me? So I think that people should be able to set a price in accord to what they feel their particular work is worth. If that's your hustle, I'm not going to knock your hustle. But like you said, you can't expect every author to come out with a full-length novel at 99 cents. Like I said, I'm old. I don't expect nothing less than 70,000 words. Now, if you're writing a novel and it's 30,000 words, it's 20,000 words, they're getting 100 and something pages, unedited, not properly formatted, not properly proofread, there are errors in it, then I think that it's disrespectful to ask a reader to pay full price for something that is not a correct product. You know what I'm saying? Now, in that instance, I say, hey, have at it. You know what I'm saying? Go to town. You know what I'm saying? You're a new author. You're trying to get a sexist. You know what I'm saying? You want to get your name out there. Have at it. But all I'm saying is give quality products and don't taint it to where someone who has a full-length novel, got 70, 80,000 words, you know, 300 and something pages, they book is quality, edited, formatted, proofread. Oh, you know, no errors. Don't expect them to then do the same because then, you know what I'm saying? That ain't right.
You know what? I think the problem with that is the fact that most people that start now, they're trying to hurry up and get their product out there, that they're not taking into consideration what needs to be done with that book. And, you know, that's like an epidemic these days. Like, I would rather sit on my work until I got my money right to do whatever I need to do before I give it to somebody else, because your work is speaking for you. That's your brand. So you can't half-ass that. You have to go full throttle 1,000% every time you drop something.
Mm-hmm.
And people just be so eager to get it out there. But then you also have people who, you know, writing is a talent, and that's a talent that everybody does not have. And, you know, some people think because they read a book, they can write a book, and that's not the case. So, you know, you read 1,001 books, so now I'm going to put something out. I'm not going to put anything into it. I'm just going to give it to you at this price. But that is definitely an epidemic that's going on with rush work.
That also goes back to the publishers, too, because you got some publishers out here that's so hungry for money that they're going to sign anybody that say, hey, I got a book, find me.
Mm-hmm.
Mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to tell you something as far as this is just my opinion, what I'm about to say. As far as the when you were saying about the readers saying, hey, you know, I've read 1,001 books. I can write one now. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't start seeing that until, like, maybe, like, 2010, the end of 2010, 2011. And the reason why I think that started happening is because the quality of work that was being brought to the market. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of authors started bringing a lot of subpar work to the market. And, you know, when a reader's reading it, like, if a reader's used to reading something like, say they're switching between urban street fiction and Eric Jerome Dickey is, because it's two different skills right there
right.
reading. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start getting more overwhelmed with this street literature because so many titles are being brought to the market. But as they're reading it, they're like, yo, I can do this. Because a lot of those books that were released between that period I'm talking about, like the end of 2010, 2011, and from that period on to now, like a lot of those books was subpar material by amateur writers who had no real writing background whatsoever, and they were releasing what I like to call very bad written journals, because it's like they're telling a story that they feel like somebody should already know. Like, they only talking to people from the street. Like, they talking to their homeboys on the corner or their homegirl on the telephone. Like, that's how most of these books read to me, in the sense of the writing that's in it, inside of it. So I can understand why readers started thinking they could do it. It was amorous. Yeah, if I'm reading something that's amateurish, I could be like, yo, I could do this too.
That's interesting that you say that, Bebo, but do you think that that plays a big part in the plagiarism? You know, they've read so many books, and now that they think that they can do it, they just taking like a handful of what they've read and making it into their own. Do you think that plays a part of it in the plagiarism?
Now, I think as far as now, when I was speaking about plagiarism, no, I'm talking about outright stealing, like they done copy and paste it or they done reproduce the work that was already out. They know it.
Wow.
Now, what you're talking about, it's like a lot of writers try to stay away from reading material while they're working because they don't want that to happen. Like, some might, you know what I mean? Like, you be reading and you be like, oh, man, you know, you come across something that's good writing or just good, it's going to stick with you. Whenever you read a good book, it's going to stick with you. It don't matter.
Right.
It's nothing special about an author that when he or she reads, it's going to be like, if they read a good book, it's not going to stick with them. It's going to have the same effect that's going to have on any reader. So as they're working, they don't want to try to intertwine something that was so significant that stuck with them into their own plot.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So now that's a different thing right there. Now, what I was speaking about was just outright plagiarism. I'm talking about the copying and pasting that's going on.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
bold. That has happened. I mean, we all know that there's nothing new under the sun. And most of us who come from, you know, what they call the urban neighborhoods or, you know, the urban communities, we grew up in the projects and things. A lot of the stories will be similar, you know what I'm saying, because similar things go on in the hood, you know.
Right.
But the thing is to create a difference to it, create a nuance to it. Like, every boy in the hood didn't sell drugs. Like, we had cats who gambled, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they made their money. They gambled. They ran the gambling houses, and they had just as much money as the dope boys, you know what I'm saying? So it was other things that went on in our communities, but I think a lot of times people fall into the trend. I have to talk about these drugs and how many kilos was moved, or I talk about this ratchet girl and she's so ratchet that she did X, Y, and Z, and they fall into that trend because they think that if one person is successful writing like that, then they'll be successful writing like that. So they fall into that trend of what's good for another author, but that's good for that author. Like, T. Styles is a twisted writer. Nobody else can pick up and write like her. She's twisted. They already know it's going to be blood. It's going to be gore. That's her signature move. You know what I'm saying? That is her move. So find something, even if you like her writing, find a way to tell a story that's different from her stories that will still stand out and make your pen have a distinction from somebody else's pen.
Right.
So, yeah, people don't do that in a lot of cases.
At all.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's becoming so bad and so repetitive, honestly, that, I mean, no disrespect, but it's a lot of readers out there that are falling into this and don't even know when they're reading a good book anymore because it's just not like that bad material. It's not familiar to them. They're like, yo, this ain't right because it don't sound like the last book I read.
You know what, I think that especially urban authors, I believe it was Leo Sullivan, he was on the show, and he was saying that they should always push their pen to venture out into other avenues, other genres, and do other things. You know, I see it even like with kids' books. You know, I think that with the lack of, like you guys are talking about, with the lack of originality, I think authors have lost the insight to be creative and be able to push their pen to a different level. You know, whether you need to write a book that is going to be able to be relatable to somebody in the suburbs or somebody in the hood, wherever they are, you have to be able to make your pen universal. And I think a lot of times, too, they get caught up in that quantity instead of quality. And I believe one of the authors was saying that she sits on her work until it's ready. And I don't think a lot of authors do. They get out there and it's like, I don't know if it's the publishers or the author saying, I need, you know, because it's not the readers, because we'll get it when you give it to us. I don't care how many times they inbox you. When you get it to them, that's when they'll get it. you know. Mm-hmm. So, but getting caught up in that quantity and not giving out quality work, that's becoming a problem as well. What do you think, Nisha?
I think quantity over, quality over quantity should always matter. It shouldn't matter, you know what I'm saying, because you can tell a story. I mean, I've read short stories, and I've gotten more out of that short story than I have out of a full-length novel, you know what I'm saying, because it was
mm-hmm.
quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like you said, and I agree with the venturing out to different genres. Me, myself, I'm actually working on something, trying to venture out besides, you know, urban fiction. I don't want to get caught up in just one genre, you know what I'm saying? I want to be able to be versatile.
Right.
With, you know what I'm saying? You give me a topic, and I can go right on it. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, I kind of, most of my work is just getting better and better, and I kind of give thanks to Needing Capri for that. She gave me a book to read, and I read that book. It was, you know, how about publishing and writing your book, and I read that book, and it helped me out with my work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm happy to be able to help you, because, you know, it's a lot writing a book. This stuff ain't easy what we do.
No, it's not.
You talking in all those different voices and all those different emotions, you know, that you can write in those different characters. And, like, actually, it takes a lot of time to come out of character. Because while you're writing that book, you are each and every character. And you are them,
yes.
And that book is complete. And sometimes it takes you a minute. Like, you want to write something else, but sometimes you just got to sit down and clear your head and start to feel those pieces.
Mhm. That's how I feel when I write a book, and you know, and I, because I have test readers, and when they read it or when people read my work and they say, "Oh my God," you know, my mouth was open. If I leave you with your mouth open, then I know I did my job. If you say, "Damn, Demetra, what the hell?" Like, what? I've done my job.
Mhm.
Definitely. We have some music in the background. I'm not sure whose phone
that is.
Ice cream truck. I'm sorry. Ice cream man. Nobody told me that ice cream man was stopping by. Ice cream. Right at all. No one told me. Aaron probably ordered the ice cream.
Another reminder that we all love. That's how you know.
Right.
The ice cream truck is here. The ice cream man is coming. Not again.
Everybody run in the house to get their change.
Yeah, I got my purse.
I got another trend that I want to talk about real quick. What do you guys think about the trend where I see a lot of females running to the front, like trying to be a little bit too much, man. Like even these little young girls running around here halfway naked, like it's cute, twerking, making these little twerk videos. People sharing them, like, does that rub anybody the wrong way sometimes?
It rubs me the wrong way all the way because I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Real.
Just to see, you know, young girls out here like that and people think sharing a video or thinking it's okay and it's not. We have to do better. We have to teach our daughters better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Real.
I'm glad you said that because
mm-hmm. I thought the females was about to jump on me. Like, what are you talking about? We can wear whatever we want. It's the men looking and doing what they do, and that's causing the distraction.
Yeah, and that means that you're allowing this man to disrespect you, and it's okay to disrespect you. That's saying, hey, yeah, come on. You can disrespect me all day.
Because
it's cute.
Yeah, that's a trend, y'all. I don't like that trend. That trend is getting whack. And another trend that's getting whack is people pulling out their phones and recording fights. Like,
yes.
That shit is so whack, yo.
Oh,
like,
yeah, my husband's niece and nephew are actually going through an issue legally because of a fight because it was something recorded that they did hitting somebody else's child. It's not cute to record everything that you do.
That shit is corny. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you another thing, too, man. Like, for this is just for any of these people that still, quote-unquote, claiming that they out in the streets doing it how they was doing it or whatever. You know, like, when I see people, like, sharing them type of videos and they be claiming that type of background or they be indulging or commenting on any of that stuff, I'll be looking at them out the front door, yo, because I don't even got nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real. So somebody who's involved in that lifestyle already know they not even going to be participating in sharing nothing like that or none of that stuff. So Like, people got to be a little bit more mindful. Don't be walking around with a title that you really, you know, that really ain't you. You know what I mean? Like, just be you. I sell books. I'm not, that's what I do. I'm not in the streets or none of that. I write and sell books. That's what I do. You know, but I'll be seeing, like, that's becoming another trend around the literature world. Like, you have to be hard or street or looked at in a certain manner in order to sell literature. Like, that's crazy. It's starting to get real
or
crazy.
Or author be.
WWF.
Yeah, because they gone too far, too.
Mm-hmm. The author beef is another big one, and then it's like, it's crazy because, like, we ain't going to sell books that way. We lose readers. It's not the rap game, you know. Us beefing is not going to help us get any more readers.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It don't help you lose them. Mm-hmm. The real readers are leaving the very places that a lot of authors depend on to sell books, but they don't realize that they jump up there with a little fancy post and say stuff that it turns the readers off. So a lot of the real readers who used to be on Facebook and all these different social media sites, they are leaving those sites. So now, you put out good quality work, you're not even really reaching real readers. You're talking to the same five people as you were talking to yesterday because you done ran off all of the other, you know, real readers who was getting books and talking about books because they don't want to deal with the shenanigans.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad that I brought up social media because technology, you know, a lot of times with technology being the future, you know, we don't protect ourselves with or without it. But when you're dealing with technology, especially these videos on Facebook, because people's pages are getting hacked, and some of those videos, when you click in those links, those are actually like viruses. It's like meant for you to open so that they can get into your system. You have to protect yourself. You can't go clicking everything on WorldStar just because it looks interesting. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you gotta, just because it looks good don't mean it's meant for you to open, because when you open it and now you got a virus on your computer, that's money you have to spend. That's not like a couple of dollars. You know,
right. And it's crazy because you only see the author beats in the urban fiction section. You know, you don't see, you know, James Patterson caliber, you know, beefing or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all got the same readers, you know. It's enough readers for all of us to hear.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's something I think that they fail to realize with that. Like, I'm a reader before anything. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have so much respect for so many people that I was a fan of their work. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you just talking to people this kind of way, you're doing this and you're doing that. And, you know, it'd be all the pettiest of things. It's enough readers and it's enough money out here for everybody. You
yep.
know, you don't have to travel
mm-hmm.
down somebody they doing. The same person reading your work might be reading their work, but they don't realize that in acting this particular type of way, you're pushing people away from you.
Yeah.
A real person is not going to want to deal with that negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Directly
mm-hmm.
or correctly.
And
so,
it was some people that I supported, like, really big, were big fans of their work, that I literally stopped buying because, you know, they didn't support other authors, and I support everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped supporting those authors because they didn't support other people if you weren't down with, you know, their company or, you know, with their people.
Right.
That's not,
you know, right. Wow. Well, Aaron, bring that caller in right quick, that 414. Let's see what they have to say so we can let the callers weigh in and talk to our wonderful, wonderful guest we have this evening.
Yes, 414-839. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Who are we speaking with?
Maybe they don't know.
They don't know.
Put them back on. Put them on mute until they figure it out. That we live.
Put you back in the queue. And back to live action.
Yes, right.
Well, we got another caller though.
Okay.
570-540. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
What's going on, Keisha?
Nothing much, just listening.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I know you got something to weigh in.
Or the subject.
No, I don't have much to say. You know, trending is a part of life. Everybody going to follow the leader. Just find out where you're going to be at in that scope and make sure that you're following something that you believe in. But everything's going to be, you know, Somebody put a title or a book in, somebody's going to go behind you and do it. Especially if you're doing something big, they have to jump on there. You just got to, you know, have your stuff going, you know, stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's a good thing because if they check for that book, they'll check for yours, and there's the book they bought. You're not going to stop it. Might as well use it and use it for a gimmick. Marketing and stuff. Check this book out and check that book out too. Like Aaron and Cash book. You know? To me, same title, but two different types of books to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron book to me, it talks about the kids, what they're going through today. Our little Generation Z, I call them.
Yes.
And then Cash's book, the relationship between somebody and their lifestyle. Two, same title, but different books.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Keisha.
Great example.
I got a question for Keisha because, you know, you're a reader. And what determines if you want to read an author's book or not? What things are you looking for as a reader besides the content of the book?
It depends. It's like watching a movie, how it makes me feel about the character. You know why I respect writers? So even if I don't like your book, like I don't like it, if it's a good book, I'm going to tell you it's a good book. I'll tell somebody this author has a good book, but I didn't like that, like the book. They write the book. How I feel. If I'm talking back to the book, I didn't like the book.
Okay.
One of my favorite books. Like, I love it. But then I didn't like her next book. I didn't like Midnight. I did not like that book at all. I think she dropped the ball on that. So, you know, I give everybody a chance, though.
Yeah, people will read anything.
Yeah, I read anybody a chance.
Uh-huh.
And I try to be fair. I really do. I know I'm not the only reader in the world, but I give people, some people got stuff out there, they need to go back to the drawing board, though.
Uh-huh.
It shouldn't be on Amazon for free. It shouldn't even be up there. I want my money back for free.
Wow.
For real, yo, that's serious, yo. That's honest, though. Like, you can't be just putting out anything, man. Like,
and that's what's going on now.
Crap.
And that's a trend. Being an author is a trend. Everybody want to be an author.
For real.
And half of them can't read.
You said half of them can't read?
Wow.
Half of them can't read.
They said they can't read.
They can't read. they don't work. Like, I've read books where people change genders with the same name. I go back. Did he know it was a girl at first? Now it's a dude in chapter two?
Wow.
Like, did you just stuff? I have read books like that. Like, oh, stop playing with me. This one say author. I'm author this, I'm author that. All right. You say it is. I don't believe you, but hey.
But, you know, Keisha, when you're reading something like that, you could be so into the story. And then when you come up across a discrepancy, it just kind of changes the whole tone of what you've been
like
reading.
Yeah, something like that. Somebody had an extra word in there. Okay, you missed that. When somebody changed the whole gender, or you say you was in Mississippi, but then you turn around and you say that he never been down south, but he was born in Mississippi. Ain't Mississippi down south? Like, huh?
It's a joke. Like, what?
Or either they do that time, and you talking about, oh, this person was born in the 80s, but he's singing Lil Wayne. Stop. No.
Lil Wayne wasn't in the 80s,
sweetie. Lil Wayne would have been in the garbage. He couldn't rock in the 80s.
Wow.
So
for real, yo, that's
that
serious. People be writing in different times. It'd be cell phones.
Yes.
I'd be like, what?
Or you saw them clothes. Yeah, but like, oh, that outfit wasn't out back then. That outfit wasn't out.
Yeah, like, she pulled out her cell phone. I'm like, her cell phone?
Cell phone?
She's driving an 88 Saab.
Wait, they had a cell phone?
Yes.
No, yes.
And, you know,
that is a trend
in books. And I'm gonna give y'all a little science right quick for all those authors who are writing, and you are writing about labels and cars and things like that. The trend for that is
I have to do that.
So you don't have to do that. And if you establish early in the book that the person has money, you do not have to drop labels the entire book. If you establish at the beginning that she wears red bottoms or he wears such and such, when they get dressed, all you have to do is describe the color and style of the clothes. You do not have to continuously throughout the rest of the book remind us that they make money at the title. So that's a free one. I just gave y'all a free one because that's the worst you can do in the book.
For real, y'all.
Nobody needs to know that they have $3,000 shoes every other chapter. We already know. You told us already. So let it ride.
All I want is some character development, yo. Like,
yes.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just meeting these people. Let me know something, especially if they're 18 or older. I need some background on them because that means something was going on before this that got them to this point, and I might need to know that so as they're going through the book, I can recognize those behaviors as they come, and you don't have to keep explaining it every 2 minutes
because
I already know how this character is. So can I please get some character development, please?
And some consistency. Be consistent. We don't want the plot all over the place. You're over here, you're there, you're back here, but you forgot to tell us what happened on the other two spots. If you have some consistency, be consistent. You know, I think Nene calls it an outline. Outline it. Find out where you want to go, why you want to go there, how long you going to stay, and then move on to the other place. You know, you got to have consistency, especially
That's
for the
true.
Readers, or it throws off their reading, because with readers, it's all about the visual. If you're going to have a sex scene, you got to tell us. You got to show us and not tell us. You just can't, right, you got to show us. You can't say they had a good time. By the time your scene is over, I want to be horny. I want to be wet. I want to be breathing hard. I want to fall out of my chair. I want to be like the character in the book. I want to be like, oh, my goodness, what they got going on over there? But that's what readers want. We want to be able to visualize so we can play it out in our head however we want. But we can follow along in the book, and it makes the book more interesting. By the time you get done with that book, you on your back. You can't read another one. You like, you letting people know.
Oh, shit, I don't want you like that. I ain't going to lie. I don't want to write a sex scene that good, got you on your back, and you can't read another book. Hells no.
Trying to put folks out of commission.
On rubbery legs over there at Amazon, like, I got to one-click me another Aaron Bebo book.
Exactly.
I can't
believe
it. But
that's what we
it.
Want, though. That's
yeah.
what we
you know
want
what?
As readers.
You know what we want from readers as authors? This is what we want from readers as authors. We want y'all to stop skipping over scenes that are pertinent to the book because you're waiting to get to the gun, the shootout, or the sex scene. That's what we want. We want you to stop getting upset when you was reading too fast and then got somewhere and you were stuck and then went back and realized what happened and then tried to blame the author for confusing you because you was reading fast.
Now,
let me tell you something about that. If you read something and you get stuck somewhere, and be like, this ain't happened like that, and then you go back and see, like, oh, yeah, this was that person the whole time. My bad. Don't blame the author. The author ain't confuse you. Ain't nothing confusing about that. That's that consistency you was talking about, Leisha. It's consistent. You just got to be paying attention. Stop skipping to the sex scene and the shootout.
Not if
they
all
over
the
place.
I want
to
author like that. Not if
they
all over the place.
Right. I want to get stuck. I don't get stuck.
I don't skip anything. I read every word. Sometimes I go back and read it again and again just so I can
if
just...
If it was good.
Mm-hmm, just so I can make sure
like
I'm reading what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Demetria got this book, Love, Lies, and Obsession. I'm telling y'all, this poor child, Maya, I felt bad for her. I was like, oh, girl, let me give you some advice. She had drama from her man, got rid of him, got a new man. And, you know, when you get the new man, they always got to come back, you know, the fool come back after he had all his baggage. She had me all over the place. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to need to lay down. My head was hurting just like Maya. I was like, she got a headache by now.
Yeah, man. We need some serious writing. For real, like I want to read books that make me sit back. Like when I was reading, for instance, perfect example. One day I was sitting down, and I was reading Death Wish by Iceberg Slim. Mm. I was reading the book, and I had read like two or three pages, and I came to a point in the middle of a page where he expressed something that was so deep. I said, you know what? I got to go back and read this whole damn chapter over. This dude is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back and just start the whole chapter over. Like, I want that again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. I'm really not getting a lot of that. Like, where I'm really seeing the development of the writing. It wasn't even, like, the way, if what he said probably was something simple, but it was the way that he said
it. He wrote
it. The way that he placed the words.
Mm-hmm.
And made it form together that made me recognize his signature at that moment and how talented and gifted he was as a writer. I had to go back and start over. I hadn't missed nothing. It's just I just had missed the fact that this dude was amazing. I want that again. Like, for real, it's like people ain't challenging themselves no more. I think in the early stages of the game, people were gunning for, like, the Iceberg and the Donald Goins titles.
Mm-hmm.
But as time started going on, I feel like people think that they had came into their own and they really forgot the fibers and the roots of where they came from and stopped giving it their all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real, that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
I am going to throw out a reminder because we're getting some feedback in the background. To mute your phone if you have some background noise going on, if you're not in a quiet room, so that way we can hear everybody because sometimes people are fading and we're getting that feedback and the echo there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I hear it too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mute yourself in between your talk and you have to, you know, do anything within your house. Yep, that's right. We don't want these callers to miss this important stuff that the authors have to say, and they are dropping some serious jewels. So now we're talking about trends. One of another big trends, I saw something come across the Facebook timeline was a woman who had went to go get some butt injections, and the lady gave her some corking that you do the tub with, and she injected that in her, and the woman's limbs actually curled up and turned black. She had to get her feet removed, her hands removed, you know.
Oh, somebody
stuff.
Was telling me about that.
It was on CNN also.
She's going out and she's trying to speak out to keep women from doing that. That's another big trend that's going on, you know, injections here and this and that and the other. And I think that women have lost that love for themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what I have is not good enough, not acceptable. I need something else. I need something else. And in their quest to get something else, they're killing themselves. You know, they're killing themselves for those trends. And that stuff is so momentarily. Like, I was watching, they got a show now called Botched for people who have gotten plastic surgery. It turned out wrong. They have these doctors trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, like, once you get these procedures, like, you have to go so many years and get them done over. You can't go beyond. The stuff may bust and seep into your skin. It can give you cancer and lymph nodes, infections. You know, you're walking around with different things in your body that are foreign objects, mind you, because it's not what is the natural thing that the body is used to. So, you know, in that case, like, how do y'all feel about that? This trend of, I don't like myself the way I am. I need to alter it in such a way that it's killing you. Demetria?
It definitely
That was that, Lavana. Go ahead. How do you feel about that? That the trend of I don't like what I have. I need something different. But
it definitely bothers me because we're living in a time where people have these different music stars or anything, or these reality TV stars, and they're seeing stuff on TV, and they're seeing how these guys are acting, and it's making them want that thing. They want to, you know, be built up like a video vixen, and I don't think it's that serious. If somebody wants you, they should want you how you are, and you should accept you how you are, and if you don't like you, change you, but go about it natural ways, you know, exercise, diet, whatever it is you have to do, but you don't have to get to the point of actually pretty much killing yourself for, you know, breasts, whatever it is. You know, I used to joke all the time, oh, I'm going to get me a Brazilian butt lift. It's not that deep. I keep what I get. It's getting me this far in life. It'll get me wherever else I'm trying to go, but it's not that deep where you're losing body parts. You can lose your life all because you want to look like Nicki Minaj or, you know, one of these chicks you see on Love & Hip Hop or something like that. It's not that deep, but these girls definitely need to learn at home to love themselves first and not try to make themselves be a particular type of way for somebody to want them.
So. Exactly.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And a lot of these women don't realize that the women that they see dolled up like that, that's called lights, camera, action. They at work, and they don't dress like that all the time. Like, you want to wear six-inch heels, but you ride the bus. Come on, son. Don't do that. You sit on the bus stop with the heels linked over to the side. You can't wait to sit down somewhere. You know, your toes is aching. They all tore up so that you can look like the lady who got a limo driver waiting for her with a pair of flip-flops. Don't do it to yourself.
Right.
Don't go out your way, you know what I'm saying, to do that to yourself. You know, it's not necessary. I mean, a lot of people, when I tell them, I didn't start getting my eyebrows arched till I was like 33. And you know, people was like, you don't arch your eyebrows? I said, a man never asked me for no eyebrows. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? When I got to that age, I said, well, let me give it a try, you know, and I tried it. It's something that I like, but it's something I can definitely, you know, do without, you know, and that's just an arch of an eyebrow, but that's, you know, a little bit of, you know, maintenance. But, you know, women are definitely doing a lot of things. In Philly, they had a woman called the Black Widow. She was just meeting women in hotel rooms, and she was doing all kinds of things. A African student came over from London, a young woman, doctor, medical student, and she had got the butt injections. Well, I don't know if she injected her with or something and closed her wound up with crazy glue, and the lady died. Never made it back home. You know, that's another, you know, another add to our race and to our credibility as women and as Black people, you know, having a professional like that. But someone with that much intelligence still thinking that I'm not good enough, I need something extra, you know, and now she's gone. You know, she can't even pursue her dreams or go any further trying to have something extra. Aaron?
Wow.
I think it's cool when people do things, when they want to do things for themselves and they want to take on a course to do it the right way, because that's when you really want to do something for yourself. Going out and affecting vanity through surgery at a risk to your health is just foolish, y'all. Like, it's really not worth it. And I think that also takes away from the esteem of the world. Like, back in the days, you know, females wanted to get themselves together, they really have to work out. You know what I mean? And even if they didn't, they would be proud with who they were. Like, they would really just end up growing into their skin and accepting it and being, you know, satisfied with themselves. But now, you know, in this generation, you got women going out getting these surgeries. You got these young girls going out getting these surgeries. Like, it's, and they getting them at a young age. So they're not thinking at 19 that when they get 30, which is only 11 years away, that this is going to be done, destroy their body at the prime of their life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not thinking about that. You know, they, some of these girls haven't even had any kids yet. You know, all types of stuff. So, like, these surgeries aren't proven, yo. There's been more horror stories with them than anything.
But in relation with that, Biba, what about the women that are getting these body wraps that are squeezing into them to try to get, since maybe they can't afford the surgery, they're squeezing their organs and they can't eat, they can't breathe, and they're walking around like that. I mean, that's another trend.
It definitely is, yo.
But you know what? In our grandparents' day, You know, that stuff is nothing new. They had girdles, they had corsets, they had undergarments, but the difference is that in that day and time, stuff was done where stuff was a little bit more, I want to say research-based, where they actually, and it was expensive. Like, you know, it was expensive to buy a girdle and different things, and you wore them. Like, it was, you wore those things on a daily basis. You know, it wasn't like the stuff they have now where people are able to go on Amazon and get something for $9.99 and it don't have no instructions and it's not built properly, you know, and then they just doing it without the proper research. Like Vanna B, she has a book about waist training 101. She put that out, and she does it, and she was just talking about it, about how you have to have the proper garment so that, you know, you don't mess up your organs and different things like that and have that longevity. But a lot of women are even, like, with the waistband surgery. I know women who have got the waistband surgery who had heart attacks, who have nerve problems now because whatever they did to the stomach area, those are nerves and different things. So now other parts of their body isn't working properly. You know, you thin, but you infection is going through your body. You had a heart attack or, you know what I'm saying, you sick all the time because you actually altered how God made you. So now the other parts that is attached to that aren't working properly.
So you want to be thin, but at what price? You want to be pretty, you know, because you think you're not pretty enough, but at what price?
Right. But at the end of the day, when you take it all off and they see who you are, you know, what's the point?
For real, I don't have time for that. When I'm ready to go to school,
I'm going to get you sucker shit.
Eyeballs, eyelashes, hair. I ain't got time for that.
You be jumping around on one leg, chasing me down the block. I'll be out of there.
You got to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning to hurry up and put your – let me tell you something. I got a friend who is so vain about, you know, her beauty or whatever, and she had an accident. She had an accident, and her front top teeth had to get taken out. So she had a false one. But they're really nice and everything. But let me tell you, her man never saw her without the teeth. He don't know that they're not hers. She went to have their baby. And she had to take them out. She put them in the tissue. She was like, she told her mother, as soon as they take this baby out of me, because she had to get a cesarean, you put my teeth right in my mouth. I mean, like, she didn't care about her. Am I breathing? Is the baby okay? She was like, so they get this baby out, you make sure you put them teeth right in my mouth. And she had her mother. He couldn't even come in the delivery room when she had the baby because she didn't want him to know that she didn't have teeth.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it was. I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but that happens. Like, it goes down like that.
That's corny, though. Like, for real, I'm just saying in the sense of, like, because you can't have a real relationship with somebody like that. Even that small thing right there taints your relationship so much, because if you're willing to go to that length to cover up something, like, why can't, you about to have this man's baby, why can't he know that you have some replacement teeth?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you at in your head in life that you're thinking that the man you're about to give birth to his child, that you can't let him know that? Like, you need to be rethinking a whole bunch of stuff. Honestly, that's just my opinion. Like, that's crazy.
True.
Go ahead,
Bebo.
Take it to the next one.
No, the thing that I feel is trending, I'm going to tell you what I think is trending, is that now it's like being intelligent is like a damn wickedness. If you start speaking with some intelligence, like, people be, like, shutting it down so quick, like, oh, nobody don't want to hear that. You got to read 1,000 books to hear and this and that, and you got to go through this and that, and, you know, people don't want to hear nothing intelligent no more. They just want everything quick. You know, like, if it ain't quick and it ain't got no type of humor to it or something funny, like, they don't really want to give it no attention. You know what I mean? It's like being intelligent is, like, the dumb thing to do right now. I've seen a lot of trend on that. Really, that's just my opinion from what I see, my view.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something. Well, we have something from our chat room that have women and men gone too far trying to change their image to fit in or feel better about themselves? How do you authors feel about that?
I think they have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they have, not only to make themselves feel good, but because of what other people might think or how other people might see you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. At the end of the day, both men and women.
I believe that that happens now because social media has created a false sense of being vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, sometimes people do things that, you know, they do it like it's a vocal sense, but they really speak the audience that they really be addressing. I don't think people be taking time out to even realize the audience they be addressing
mm-hmm.
certain things, you mm-hmm. know. So, like, that, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I get it. I definitely
think
people are putting out going too far to put out an image.
And it's always been that way, even before, you know, with the social media, because people were trying to look like models, and they were bulimic, and they were anorexic, and they were eating and throwing up, or starving themselves, or taking those diuretics. So, and not even women, you know, males as well were doing it. And it's just like, sometimes stuff like that comes from the inside. You know,
mm-hmm.
that you doing all that to yourself is just going to make you sick. And it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change how you feel. It's not going to do anything because you haven't made any inside changes to yourself to make yourself feel different about yourself. But I don't, you know, people don't see that sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's crazy. People are going to be people. I definitely think social media has broadened the whole aspect of it because now you wake up in the morning like you can't even get through your day without finding out something common that happened to somebody else that may live nowhere near you because you'll turn on you'll log on to social media and you'll see somebody sharing a video about a fight that happened at Walmart where they live at in Minnesota. Like, you can't even get through your day without common thing. People are posting pictures of other people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, I'm on the bus right now. Look at this. Like, it's just too overwhelming now. Like, everything mm-hmm. is a damn report.
I mean, you look at the back in the day, our parents went to the grave. My grandparents went to the grave with their business. Now you get on social media, you got to hear, well, my dog died, my man done left me, this bee done got me effed up. I'm about to come over there. No, you're not. You're not coming over there. And you shouldn't even make an announcement that you're coming over there because you ain't coming for nobody. The fact that you made a public announcement tells me that you ain't about that life because people who about that life don't make public announcements. They just show up at your house. That's when you hear about it. Who are you trying to fool? But it has become a trend to share your entire day. Like, I'm sorry. I know people get sick and everything. But this is my personal opinion. I have no disrespect against anybody who's doing it. But I really don't want to see you at the hospital with your IV and that little cap on your head and wires sticking out your nose and you telling me that you at the hospital. I don't want to know that you had to get a colostomy bag. I don't want to know that you had to get your colon cleansed. Like, I just don't want to know that. I mean, I don't know why somebody would want to share something so private. Like, I see people sharing pictures like, oh, my God, she about to have my son baby, and they taking pictures of this woman, and her everything is out. Like, did you ask her permission? Did you even, do she know that her butt, her legs in the stirrup, in the air? Like, did you even share that with her? Like, you know, like, that's
on
a
Instagram.
Private, personal moment. Like, did you clear that with her? Like, she's clearly having contractions. She's not even looking at the camera. Like, why did you feel like that was something that you had to share with a million and one strangers? Like, nothing is personal and nothing belongs to anybody anymore. It's like, put it all out there. Nothing is sacred. Like, it's crazy. I don't know what that is.
And another trend is just lying, man.
Just plain old lying, yes.
Yeah, like, seriously, like, people go to any lengths now
mm-hmm.
to just be dishonest, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, stop mm-hmm. lying to people, man. Stop taking away people's choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, don't steal nobody's choice, man.
Yeah, yeah.
People be stealing people's choices left and right, man.
Mm-hmm.
And please, another thing, stop sending inboxes around about people, man.
Oh, no, that's
whether,
a big thing
right
readers,
now. Whether they readers or authors, man, stop sending inboxes around about people and telling other people to be quiet when you do it. Like, because if you got to tell somebody not to say nothing or it's got to be a secret, then you don't need to be telling nobody.
At all.
Keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Stop and stop copying and pasting things that people are saying and adding your own words into it. And then
mm-hmm.
sending it to somebody else, like, yo, this is what so-and-so said.
Mm.
Like, people've been busted on that already. Like, stop doing that. And people stop accepting things like that in your inbox and on your phone from people. If somebody call your phone and tell you something about somebody, no matter how good it sounds, if they tell you you can't say nothing, man, leave that person alone, man. They got horns in their head.
They're about to go tell that same person something about you and tell them not to say nothing.
Yeah, because if it's real, they don't have to hide it. Only person who has to hide is the devil, man.
Yeah.
Like if it's real, you don't got to hide it. If it's truth, you don't got to hide it. So you already know their intent is wrong when they come to you and tell you not to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And all y'all people out there that be talking about y'all love God, and praising God and talking about God all day online and being a part of that type of foolishness, you're being a hypocrite, yo, and you're being very displeasing to your God, and stop praising his name and the negative things that you're doing.
Mm.
Like, for
that's
real.
Something. That's something.
Yeah, but
wow.
We
for
have,
real.
Yes. We have in our chat room Christina Kelsey. She
mm-hmm.
says, well, some of us are happy with who we are, and the rest of us think if they change their appearance, that they will find that person going to accept them. No, if he or she don't want you, how you are is their bad. Screw them. I hope
okay.
I read that right.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah,
it's true.
But who has time for all that? I don't have time for it because I'm not getting up early, too early in the morning to be putting on no damn eyelashes. I mean, hey, no knocking nobody who wears them. That's on you. I say, hey, whatever makes you happy. But me personally, I go to bed at night with a scarf on my head. That's exactly the way he's going to look at me when I go to bed when I wake up. Now, I'm not going to show up at the Harlem Book Fair with a scarf on my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, I won't be at a book signing looking crazy, but I can't maintain all of that. Like, I don't have time for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, this is who I am. And a lot of guys who I talk to, authors, they say a lot of these authors and stuff, these female authors, is just Facebook. It's Facebook deception. They're like, you see them in person, and it is a total different person. It's not even the same. Now, you done went in the bathroom and put everything you had in your closet on, take a picture on Facebook. Then when they see you down to the book signing, it ain't the same. So, yeah, don't deceive. It's not necessary. It's that people don't like you for who
yeah.
you are. F them.
Different size.
Absolutely.
You at the book signing with the different. You at
what'd
the,
you say?
That
go ahead.
You at the book signing with the different size red bottoms on, standing pigeon-toed all day. All right, knock it off.
That reminds me of that episode from The Different World when her and Dwayne first got married, and Willie would get up in the crack of dawn in the morning before Dwayne, brush her teeth, put on makeup, pat her face, all that, and then get in the bed and make her hair lay a certain way. That's too much.
Stop woke up like this.
Go to sleep.
No, you ain't nobody woke up like that. I don't care how cute you are. I'm cute, but I don't wake up like that. I promise
right.
you that.
Right.
Your face be
right.
swollen. You got to do something to your breath. No, you did not wake up like that, sweet tea.
Right.
You had to do some
shout
things
to
wake
our
up
chat
like
room,
that.
Though. We got
shout out to the chat room.
Yes, our
chat room is awesome.
I think that's how you pronounce her name. She says it's vanity. And, yes, they've taken it to way too far. The chat room is in. They're unanimous. They're like, they're taking this way too far as image. And you got to squeeze it in. You got to tuck it in. Because you can't eat. It's sticking you in your sides. You can't breathe. You can't sit down. Who got time for that?
Mm-mm, I don't.
So, too much.
Miss Tony had a question for the ladies. Go ahead, Miss Tony.
I just wanted to ask the authors, can you just, I know we've been all over the place tonight. We've had some really good conversation dialogue here. But mm-hmm. for those that are not familiar with your work, Demetria, you want to just give me as a reader and our listening audience a little bit about what your work is about?
I write urban fiction, urban romance. It's not too much, a lot of violence in my books, you know, like most people. I'm more on a romance type thing, but nevertheless, urban romance. I am on book number seven books in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
My first series is Love, Lies, and Obsessions, three-book series, Addicted to Love, and then I have Ridgeway Mafia.
Okay. Okay, very good. Make sure you guys are ready to get that one click. Is that Kindle, Nook, iTunes? How can they get your book?
Amazon.
Amazon.
Okay. Paperback and Kindle.
Paperback and Kindle. Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Go ahead, Ms. Tony.
And Ms. Levon.
Yes. My name is Levon, and my debut novel is Girlfriends, which is under Just Right Publications. I can't really categorize it. I guess you would call it alternative fiction because of the lifestyle that the main characters lead. But the book is available on Amazon as well as Barnes and Nobles, and it's on Kindle, Nook, and paperback.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Levon. With your book, what type of trend are you trying to set while you're giving the readers your work? What type of trend do you want to set?
I can't necessarily say that I want to set a trend, but it'll always be something different with what I give. My stories are half reality, half my imagination. I can't write about anything if I haven't experienced it firsthand or know anything about it. So it'll always be something different than maybe what they're used to.
Okay. Okay. And Demetria, what type of trends are you trying to set? What are you going to leave behind as a message from your book?
Not necessarily a trend, but I want to be known for my writing and just for Demetria writing. I don't want anyone to say that I write like such and such or, you know, have my own style where it's recognizable. Like, oh, that's Demetria real fat. So just no trend, but just my own style.
Right, right. And I agree with that. And style is everything. And I will say this. I know that a lot of people say, you know, when they look at Wahida's series, like, it's like one of the, you know, the longest ongoing series for so many years. Like, she's still writing this same series from the time she came out to now. But I will say, those characters, the way she has wrote those characters or written those characters, you can't help but not to remember them. I mean, like, it's things in them books that they stick in your head. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you know about Trey and Tasha, like, everybody knows about Trey and Tasha. You know what I'm saying?
I got the paperback.
Girl, we had to leave and go on the road, and she was crying and trying to not for him to go. I felt every second. You know, it's like you felt like you was in those rooms. And I think that's
book.
What a lot of books are missing, atmosphere. Like, you telling a story, but I don't know where I'm at. I can't tell what room I'm standing in. I don't know what the weather is. What time of the year is it? Like, what are you writing? I mean, what are you talking about? Like, you're just popping up, people popping up. One minute they got on coats. The next minute, you said it was summer. Why the hell he got on a triple fat goose? I can't figure this out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be consistent and build in the picture for the readers, you know what I'm saying? That's what makes stuff stand out, you know what I'm saying? When you're able to put me in that room and I can feel their breath, I can see the blink of their eye, you know what I'm saying? When she's talking to him, I know she's biting her lip. That's something that she does. She's consistent with it. You got to be consistent with these writers in order to stand out in your particular brand. You have to have consistency, and you have to make the readers feel you, not just read the pages. They got to feel you. That's what makes your work stand out from the hundreds and hundreds of other authors that's out here right now. Make them feel you.
That's true. Like Biba was saying earlier about that character development, because if you're going into a story and you don't know this person, Adam from Eve, you know, you feel lost. You don't feel connected, and that's when you basically just run through the lines to get to the end of the story. When you can have good character development, you can see them, and you can literally see them as they take each step. and the steps right. that they've taken to get to that point. And that's
right.
the product of a good book with great character development, which is so key.
And it takes time to do that. Like, the girl can't be shy in chapter one, and the next in chapter two, she a stripper. Like, you have to develop these people. Like, something has to happen. Like, she's shy, but she needs some money. She talking to some friends. First, she goes to the club and see what it's about. Then she leaves because she ashamed, but she still need that money. It's a conflict. You have to have
right.
a conflict, and then you have to have a resolve. Okay, there's no other choice. That's the last resort. Okay, now she a stripper. Okay, now she got to drink a little bit so she can strip because that's what she got to do to get in her moment. So now her character is beginning to change because now she's doing things that she would never do. She's drinking a little bit so she can strip. Then she's stripping because she needs the money. It's a conflict. It's a resolve. It's a character change. It's a character development. But it has to happen over time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
old dude can't be broke in chapter one, and then chapter two, he in a Lamborghini. He got a mentor. What the hell happened? I'm like, what?
For real, bro. You got
that, did they drop the drugs off? I don't even know if he picked the drugs up. Did he pick them up? Did he sell them? I mean, did he have a crew? He ain't even got a crew. He sold all them drugs and bought a Lamborghini. And what period of time? Yeah, that's that crazy stuff right there.
For real, yo.
And then like Aaron says, skipping around. Now, authors can't skip around. If they caught their man cheating in chapter one, and by chapter two they were the new man, what happened? Did she leave him? Did she fight? Did she go to the girl house? What happened? I missed out on what happened because now you done jumped around. You over here now. And now I'm steady thinking about, well, shoot, what happened when she found out about the girl? Did she get to the house? What did he say? You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shenanigans. And then people be upset when readers review their book as a book that wasn't that well written. And then they get an attitude. But don't get an attitude. Go back and look at what the reader said. And then go back and read your book, your own self, and see what you were missing. And then when you write your next book, try to do better. Try to study your craft in between. Say, oh, man, this is what I'm missing. Like, when I get a review that's not that great, I look at it. And I don't get upset at a reader because that's how they felt. So I look at myself. Okay, how could I have written that particular portion a little bit better? If I go back and read it, an honest read, you know, I say, well, okay. Well, next time I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Or if I feel like I don't need to do anything, then it goes for nothing because you can't satisfy everybody's reading palette. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You'll never be able to because everybody is different. But do the best you can to study your craft and to write well. To write as well as you can. Go ahead, Aaron.
That's another thing. Go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, we as authors in this industry, too, we also have to learn how to have thick skin. And a lot of, you know, new authors, they come to me and they ask me, you know, how do you do this and do that? Well, you're going to get a bad review. Like we said, everybody's not going to like your work, but you have to learn how to take criticism. You can't get mad because they didn't like your book or they found something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And try to go off on the reader. So.
Yes, now readers will get upset. Now, people give a bad review if you done wrote a very well book, but they didn't like how you ended it. And they will give you a bad review just because you killed their favorite character. Now, that's something different. Mm-hmm. That's an emotional connection that they had to that book, and that's their honest feeling. But if a person comes on a review and says, it was misspelled words, it was double words, I don't know what was going on, it was chapters missing, the headings was wrong, it was poorly developed. Now, those are things that is giving you an opportunity to perfect your craft. Those are craft issues, okay? Now, that's something different. Now, if they saying that and you got 10, 15 reviews and everybody telling you that you did not spell a word properly, that's something wrong with you. Now, if you got a book person who says, oh, my God, I can't believe you killed him. I've got to give this 2 stars. He was my favorite character. That's different. That's an emotional connection to the book. So you have to appreciate that. But if you got 15 reviews telling you that you don't edit right, you need to get an editor. Go ahead, Aaron.
And that three-star review from the person who don't like the way you ended the book really is a 5-star.
Yeah,
right.
Because their emotions were so drawn in that they didn't want it to end.
Right.
You know, so.
And that means you did your job.
Yeah,
exactly.
You got to talk that up to good writing.
That's right.
Like, you got to have time and a precision. Like, me personally, I'm a reader first. So, like, you know, I be reading. I'll tell you one thing I don't like is when these voices be switching up. And I don't mean like they be switching up, meaning like you might introduce something where the voice is supposed to switch up, but it really never do. Like, people got to start really be paying attention to the time and transition of the things that they're writing. Like, you know, it's times when you have to come out of narrative and be in first person.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way that you introduce things, now I'm looking for the transition. Like, all right, you introduce it like this. This is this person thinking. This ain't the author at work right here. This is the character's mind at work. Let me see what they talking about. But the voice
never changed.
You know
what I mean?
So
that's why I like writing
this
first
shit, like, yo. Like, yo, what's going on? Like, when is the narrative going to start? I mean, stop, and I'm going to see this person's thoughts. Like, this person, not what the author's thinking, what this character right here is thinking.
Yeah.
Crazy,
yep.
Man.
That's the trend. The new trend is not to study the craft. So don't follow
Water
that That's a trend that you definitely don't want to follow. You want to study your craft. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do anything else, study your craft. Like I have to always go back to Wahida because that's my roots. When Wahida is writing, she is reading everything that has nothing to do with urban fiction. She's reading development books. She's reading publishing books. She's reading handwriting books. She's a reader. She is a real reader. She's a very, very intellectual woman. She's listening to tapes in the car. She got the CDs in the car while she's driving to the office. She's listening to some type of motivation or something that can help her do a little bit better in business and in her craft. And that right there is the best gift that you can give yourself. You know what I'm saying? Instead of listening to Waka Flocka and all them on your way to work, find yourself something audible that you can listen to on your headphones or whatever so that you're learning. You're always learning your craft. That's what you do. You write. So why wouldn't you be reading about writing or publishing? I don't read urban fiction. So if anybody thinks I'm copying off of them, good luck with that because I don't read urban fiction at all. Not that I don't want to. It's just that that's not my read. And I had to read for Wahida for so many years, so many novels to get them ready for the publishing company. I just don't read urban fiction at all. But I recommend it. And if I find out that something is a certain kind of way, I always speak on it to tell them how to do it better by teaching them about the craft. So definitely learn your craft.
Please.
Aaron?
I just want people to learn the craft, yo. Like, I be saying a lot of things, and people may not like it, but it's because I be wanting people to do it the right way. Like, honestly, this is a million and one authors I could have been took advantage of. I mean, but I just want you to do it the right way.
Right.
And if you ain't going to do it the right way, I want you to just get out the way. Because when I came out the house, that was the motto. Either you in the game or you in the way. So that's the same thing. Oh, I forgot the same thing. Like, either you in the game or you in the way. Now, you need to get out the way because you in, like, you know, you really, it's not, you know, if you ain't going to do it the right way, then you in the way. Because you're going to deteriorate it to, like, you may get the dollar today, but you're going to spend it tomorrow, and then the day after tomorrow, ain't nobody going to be able to get no dollar. See, because I'm always thinking long range. I'm not thinking
longevity.
You know what I mean? So when I see people doing crazy stuff, I'm thinking about, like, yo, if they keep doing this, ain't nobody going to be able to eat. Like, they may be eating right at the moment because it's trendy, but it's tearing down a building in the process. So, like, I don't know, man. Trending really need to stop in business altogether. Like, this is business. This is not. I was, yo, in the Wall Street Journal the other day, yo, Shania Twain, I believe it was. I was reading it was a country singer. I can't remember which one of them was a country singer. But she was saying that music should not be free. And she hopes young artists come up and ask for their worth.
Like, yeah, I
people,
saw that.
Like, you gotta. Yeah, Taylor Swift was in the Wall Street Journal, yo. Like, you gotta be. People got to be getting what they worth, and the only way you could get what you worth is if you're truly an artist. See, she made that point to say artist. She said, I hope young artists coming up. Everybody that's doing something doesn't mean, don't mean that you're an artist. Like, the dude that's painting somebody's house is not the dude that's hanging up the Mozart in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Two different type of things going on right there.
Mm.
You know, like, you're an artist. If you're a painter, you need to find a house and paint it.
true. Everybody has their niche.
Yeah. You know, I'm definitely not the best writer in the world at all. But I'm guaranteed an exceptional writer in any field. Like, I don't even have a genre. I'm just a writer, period. So, you know, I'm an exceptional writer all the way around, and I'm always open for growth, and I love the craft, and I'm always looking to grow. Like, you ain't going to read an Aaron Bebo book, and then you get the next Aaron Bebo book, and it's going to be the same thing. You're going to see some growth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always trying to bring a new story, a refreshing story, so it ain't reading the same. Like, people got to just start reaching for more, because that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the next generation going to come up and do something new if we keep doing the same thing?
Yeah. I got a quick question, Aaron. Harlem Book Fair, big, fat trend. Demetria, how do you feel about the Harlem Book Fair, and are you going?
I don't know what to feel about the Harlem Book Fair. I've never been. I'm not going this year. I'm planning to be able to go next year.
Okay.
I'm in the wife full time, so that can't be for anything.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. And what about you, LaVon? How do you feel about the Harlem Book Fair? Have you ever been?
I think the Harlem Book Fair is definitely a good thing. I actually wanted to be there this year, but next year is looking more better for me.
Okay. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Do you have anything, either one of you have anything planned, any book signings or anything coming up that the readers need to know that they can see and meet you at?
Not yet. I am trying to get something in the works. I don't have anything planned as of right now.
Where do you live? What state
Detroit,
are you in?
Detroit, Michigan. Michigan.
You're in Michigan? Okay. Where?
Yes.
Who is that? That's LaVon?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. LaVon, you trying to get some things going, you said?
Actually, not at this current moment. I'm just busy working on the second installment to the Girlfriend series. And,
okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay, that's what's up. And you both have paperback?
Yes.
Okay, I want y'all to hit my inbox when y'all get off the show. I got something to share with y'all that y'all on the show.
Okay.
I'm gonna give y'all some Nene Capri care. Hit my inbox when y'all come off the show so I can give y'all some of these dimes I got over here.
Oh, definitely appreciate it.
Definitely.
Just been talking about it. Yes, I'm gonna give y'all some gifts.
Those gifts from the Capri are priceless.
Got to give back, man.
Yes, you have to. And I tell people, you get. I don't mind giving anything to anybody. And my only wish is that when somebody comes to you with a pure heart, you do the same. You know what I'm saying? When
right.
they come to you with a real interest and a pure heart, that you pay it forward and you do the same. I mean, it's certain things that you will do that is intricate to your personal career that belongs to you, and you should hold those. But if it's something that you can share with somebody so that they can have a foot up and not make foolish mistakes following trends, you know, share. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I always say that if you see some kids jump over the couch or fall out the window, but you never said nothing, like, don't get upset with the doctor bill because you never said anything. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to say something. If you see somebody doing something and you can pull their coattail and try to share it with them and not a beat-up type of way, but you trying to, like, hey, did you ever try this? Or did you think about that? Some people you can't approach. Or, you know, they might approach you, but try to give people the best you can, you know, and don't expect anything in return, only that they also share so somebody else can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's just me. I could be totally wrong, but, you know, that's just how I do.
Girl, that's what it's all about.
The callers is in the queue. A lot of people don't have their hands up. They're listening, and we love, love, love our listening audience. We do thank them for coming out and supporting us on every show. You know, they always come out. They listen. The chat room is always jumping. Because of our listeners, in less than 6 months, we are about to hit our 5,000 mark on our callers, and it's just a blessing and an honor. You know, we thank our authors and our guests that take time out of their schedules. We know that people are moms. They're trying to cook. They're trying to get ready, but they run to the phone and they make sure that they come on and share, you know, their knowledge and their craft with our readers and our listeners. And we thank you, you know, so, so, so much for that, you know, coming and sharing, you know, with us in the clubhouse, kicking back, having these discussions. And we definitely welcome you back.
You know, if you have anything new out, you know, definitely let us know. We have some wonderful promotional packages for your work. If you're looking for promotions, Leisha Sadler is one of the best in the game. I'm just going to go out and just say it. You know, she handles her business. So definitely if, you know, you're looking for some good quality promotions, you get on the show, you can definitely avail yourself of whatever Writing Royalty has to offer and to get things out there. So definitely if you need anything, let us know. We definitely appreciate you coming to the clubhouse. Please plug your work one more time. Demetria, plug your work, and we're going to have LaVon go next. Plug your work one more time so they can know where to, one, click your work.
You can find all my stuff at Amazon.com, Love, Lies, and Obsessions series, Addicted to Love, and Rich Boy Mafia.
Very good, very good. And LaVon, what can we expect from your pen, and where can they get it?
And you can find Girlfriends, that's spelled with a U and not an I, on Amazon as well as on Barnes and Noble.
All right, all right, all right. You in Barnes and Noble, you on Nook? Okay, yep, hit my inbox. We're going to talk about some things.
What's your name on here? Because I'm looking for you now on Facebook.
I'm Denny Capri everywhere, Precious. That's Brandon right there. You always got to be yourself everywhere you go.
I know that's right. The one that's coming up don't have a picture of nothing. You might have to send me one.
I know, because I don't have you, LaVon. I don't have you as a friend, but I do have Demetria. I tried to tag y'all, and I could tag Demetria. I couldn't tag LaVon.
Yeah, me too. I can tag Demetria also, but not LaVon.
Well, we're going to make sure we're together before this night is out. We're going to be together. Leisha going to do something. I don't know what it is that Leisha does. She's going to make sure that we all together.
Magic all is right. That.
Yes. Well, we do. We thank you. You know, I wish you ladies the best you know, what you're doing. Thank you for sharing your craft and your skills. Thank you for sharing your time. Tell your family thanks for sharing you with us. And this is a wonderful conversation, trending, good or bad. We touched on a lot of subjects, you know, from soup to nuts in the clubhouse tonight. And it's been a wonderful experience. Honor to have you. Thank you again to all our callers and listeners. Aaron, do you have anything you would like to say before we leave about this clubhouse?
No, I mean, I just want to, you know, say that I enjoy the ladies from coming through, sharing their time. We appreciate it. We hope that you enjoyed your time here at Writing Royalty. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank
the ladies. And as a result of having these awesome authors on the show, my library has expanded from not just street lit, but for urban. And I just want to thank you ladies for also adding to my large supply of reading material. And I'd like to shout out the Facebook, Writing Royalty Facebook chat room. They have been awesome tonight. They have been keeping us engaged. They have been on every word. They are interacting, and that's just awesome. And also our listeners who are just listening instead of clicking their one, we appreciate you.
Somebody
can
listen to their one. Yes.
All right. Go ahead. Bring them in.
864-450. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew. We on the wrap up, and
hey everybody, it's Ashley Nicole. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Ashley?
Hi. I just wanted to call in to show my support.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate you.
And you tell Princess we said happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey,
Auntie Minnie said happy birthday.
Hey, y'all.
Okay,
yes,
that's
what's up.
Yes, that is the authoress Royal out of LDP camp. She got bossing up, coming to a one click near you. Get ready for some more of that heat coming out of Cash Street Authors Camp Lockdown Publications. Authoress Royal.
Yes, they got a lot of joints coming. He building up a nice little team over there.
Yes.
I'll be seeing them going hard.
Yes.
Out to the LDP camp.
Definitely.
Sash.
Yes, getting it done. Yep.
And by the way, if y'all haven't got them yet, y'all need to go ahead and get both versions until my casket drop. I just thought I'd plug that.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Well, shoot, since we plugging, don't start plugging, because I get the plugging. You don't want to start plugging, because we get the plug. Everybody can be plugging up on here tonight.
Well, while we plug in, don't forget that you don't have to necessarily be on Facebook to stream and hang out with Writing Royalty. You can do it from the comfort of your own home with your favorite podcast app off of your phone. You would just download the app, follow the directions, add Writing Royalty, and all of our archive shows, all of our new shows will appear in your phone. And then you can have Writing Royalty wherever you are. We also have a website, writingroyaltyradio.com. Feel free, hit us up on our wall. Let us know you were there.
Yes,
please do. And Nene and Aaron Capri, y'all know about that.
Right.
That's our other brand. We got the T-shirts coming this summer. I slipped. I wasn't even supposed to bring that up. But yeah, I slipped. They're going to see because the T-shirts going to be crazy, y'all. But anyway, Nene and Aaron, we travel. So if there's any people out there in a city that, you know, you can't make it to the Harlem Book Fair or whatever, and it's a bunch of reasons where you at, and y'all want to put something together, y'all need to holler at us because, as you see, we be on the move. I got book signing this Saturday at Books A Million in Vero. So make sure that y'all hit us up if y'all want to see us. We want to hand y'all the book, sign it, take a picture, shake y'all hand, meet you, you know, give you a genuine look in the eye. That's what we about.
I'm about to bust the A wide open. It's about to go down. G Street Chronicles is opening up a store. And we're going to be bringing in some folks. George Sherman Hudson is changing the game. That G Street entertainment, literature, everything, it's going to be sick. Just keep watching for what comes up out of our camp. And we're about to turn the A upside down. And we all going to be all over the bottom. I'm going to be in Texas in October. Sisters of Essence. We doing it. So definitely, if you're in a city and you want to come see, you just holler at us. We coming.
We got another caller.
Oh, bring him in right quick.
Yeah, real quick. 912-441. You win. 912?
No.
Well, I guess they changed their mind.
Well, God bless them.
Okay.
Well, Aaron, since we're leaving out the clubhouse, there's one last thing I got to say. Something that's trending that definitely got to stop are those rumors. Those rumors are ridiculous. So I'm going to say good night to everybody. We love y'all. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
And drop that.
Drop that beat.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Around on you.